in the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is moving right here, right now, amongst us, isn't it? Well, Rick Warren, he writes, there are three things that we can do with our life. We can waste it. We can spend it. Or we can invest it. We can waste our lives. We can waste our lives being selfish or being mean. We can waste our lives harboring grudges or throwing pity parties. We can waste our lives spending all of our time in front of the TV or surfing the internet. There are so many ways that we can waste our lives. Or we can spend our lives. We can spend our lives on our careers and our hobbies. We can spend our lives being busy just to do things, just to be busy. Or we can invest our lives. We can invest our lives in something bigger than ourselves. Jesus taught us to invest our lives in our relationship with God, in our relationship with others. We are called to make a difference. We are called to pour into others and to live for something bigger than ourselves. So maybe the question before us this morning is, what are you investing in? Who or what are you pouring your life into this morning? Let's pray. Almighty and merciful God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations on each of our hearts, may they be acceptable in your sight. You are our rock. You are our Redeemer. Amen. Well, the stock market's been all over the place recently, hasn't it? And this morning we're talking about investments that pay out regardless of what the markets are doing. For example, we're honoring the saints who have invested themselves in something bigger than themselves. They've invested themselves during the good times and during the downturns. In this morning's scripture in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus begins with this premise that, you know, everything we have, it comes from God and it belongs to God. Jesus said,
again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He, the master, called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone.
So the master gave his servants money to care for.
He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip.
So here, how the servants took care of things.
The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they used his money.
So let's pause here for a moment. The master, he had given his money to the servants to take care of while he was gone. The master eventually returns. He calls in his servants and he wants a report of how they did. Plain and simply, the master had expected, he expected his servants to be pouring into, to do more than just be caretakers. He wanted them to invest what they had given so they could have a bigger impact. Friends, we have been given so much. God has given us so much to invest and to steward in wise and faithful ways, to pour into others, to make a difference. So how do you feel about that thought that one day we will be called in to give an account, to explain how we're investing our lives? In a nutshell, did we waste our lives? Did we just spend our lives? Or did we invest our lives in ways that make a difference? You might know what the servants did.
The servant to whom he entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I give you many more responsibilities. Let us celebrate together."
"Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in using the gifts you've been given. Let's celebrate together."
The servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more. The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let us celebrate together."
"Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in using the gifts you've been given. Let's celebrate together."
Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it."
That's actually pretty harsh language, isn't it? "You wicked and lazy servant. Don't just waste what you've been given. Don't just sit on or spend what you've been given. Invest it. Make a difference with it. Pour into others. Pour into something bigger than yourselves. Invest in ways that make a difference." Friends, I don't know about you, but sometimes I can relate to that third servant. I can let my fear and selfishness hold me back. Fear and selfishness, it can keep me from pouring into others. It can keep me from investing in things bigger than myself. From a financial perspective, this isn't about driving ourselves into poverty. This is about our relationship with Jesus. It's about who and what our false gods are. Phil Wiener, he writes about discipleship, what it means to be a follower of Jesus. He describes 6 different areas. The 6 areas are kind of hard to read, but they're in the colorful column on the left side of the screen. As a follower of Jesus, we live and grow in our lives of worship and in our lives of hospitality. As followers of Jesus, we grow in being open to Jesus and in obeying Jesus. Maynard describes our lives of service, and lastly, our lives of generosity. As we continue to think about the financial part of our faith, some of the stewardship components, let's look specifically at the generosity line. There are people who aren't even thinking about being a part of the church, and that's a part that Maynard doesn't even have on this grid, called seekers. But then once people have made a decision to dabble, at least, with following Jesus, Earlier in the process, Mary describes this as exploring. We might give a little when we attend worship, otherwise we're not really thinking about it. And then as we start to grow in faith, we take the next step. And he calls this the beginning stage. We begin to maybe give a little bit more, a little more regularly. And then as we're wrestling with God, if we keep taking steps to grow in faith, we enter what he labels as the growing phase. We might even begin to wrestle with this idea of tithing of 10%. We begin to wrestle with what we're doing with the other 90% of what we've been given. And then lastly, Maynard calls the last stage maturing. Maturing as followers of Jesus, he describes that stage as making conscious efforts to order and reorder our lives so that we can free up our resources to honor God and to bless others. Pouring into others, making a difference, creating a legacy. In other words, it's not wasting our lives, it's not just spending our lives, it's investing our lives in something bigger than ourselves. Pastor Jenny, last week she talked about her journey toward tithing. Because we're all different, as you might expect, my journey looks a little different than Pastor Jenny's. Many of you know, for me, I had no idea I was going to be a pastor. Many of you know that I still wouldn't choose this if it was up to me. But we have a God of surprises, right? A God who has other plans. So with Brenda, my wife, when we had little kids, before we knew that one day I'd be pastor, and we found ourselves feeling nudged and called to begin the process of moving towards tithing, beginning the process of reordering our lives so we could invest 10% or more of our income into kingdom purposes. That actually means we have 90% left. By the way, did you know that the average United Methodist gives around 2.5% of their income to furthering the mission of the church? The mission of Jesus Christ through the church. I remember as a single income family, two young kids at home, it was the end of the year, and the church that we were going to at that time, it was struggling to make ends meet at the end of the year, and we were shocked. We got this letter. The letter said we were in the top 10% of givers at the church, and it was asking us to give more to close the gap. We were a single income family with two little kids, with a mortgage, and two car payments. But for us, it had become an issue of trust and investment. We wanted to trust God more than we were trusting the money that God gave us. We wanted to be part of investing in something bigger than ourselves. We wanted to invest in reaching people who might fill the empty seats around us. We wanted to experience. We wanted others to experience the life-saving freedom that comes in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Sometimes I get asked, you know, so if you're a tither, do you tithe before or after taxes? And what about your housing allowance? How does that figure in? So if you ask me these questions, just here's the answer you'll get. You'll hear me say, you know, do what is right for you. Because this is between you and God. This isn't about quantity. this is about quality. This is a heart issue. So for our family right now, we give $230 a week. That's just under $12,000 a year. That's where we start. And we adjust the rest of our spending to fit that. And you know what? We've never regretted tithing. We've never run out of money. And we actually find it kind of free. It's one small way we can, in good faith, say that money doesn't control us. At the same time, I'll be fully transparent, but I'll say that we are still works in progress. We're still growing. We're still maturing as we wrestle with ordering and reordering our lives as followers of Jesus. So in the last week, you may have received an estimated giving card in the mail. If you haven't, there are more cards around. Next week, we are each invited to bring these to worship, to consecrate them, to dedicate our estimates of giving to the work of the kingdom, investing in something bigger than ourselves. In your bulletin, you'll find this green week-long devotional. It's a devotional put together to help us wrestle with what it means to make these conscious decisions, to invest in ways, well, like tomorrow matters. Friends, I have kids. Many of you have kids, grandkids, great-grandkids. We all have neighbors. We all have loved ones. God is calling us to invest our lives in loving Him and loving one another. God is calling us to reach the next person. God is calling us to bring hope and healing to a broken world. We are so thankful for the people of God before us, investing in us and preparing the way, and now the invitation is to us. God's calling us to continue the work that's been started. So a closing invitation as we think about wasting, spending, and investing our lives. The closing invitation is to invite you to wrestle with God. To visit with God to see what this looks like, what this means in your own life. You know, over the past couple weeks we've been praying together, this stewardship. So in the bulletin, there's also information inside the back page. There's information. Did you know we have a United Methodist Foundation or a McKay Foundation? Somebody decades ago invested some money